you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Remember at when Andrea, when we were joking around that Andrea was a cider clut?
Yep. That was a lot.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Remember
now
that?
Now I'm a seltzer clut a little bit.
You're a seltzer clut.
Which actually would be a seltzer slut this time.
Is it that Florida seltzer brand, right, that Tom introduced you to?
Oh, that, and that's why I've gone from a clut back to a slut.
Yep.
You've from gone a cider from clut cider to clut. A seltzer slut. That kind of did it. I had been, I don't know, putting my toes in the bubbly, low ABV water, if you will.
Sure.
Which is why I kind of like it. The Florida seltzer is the shit. Which is a brewery out of Wisconsin that's producing that. It's so tasty. But when I was back in Omaha, I was like, I'm just going to lean into this hard seltzer. Then I can have a beverage in my hand and not get fucking super wasted and feel extra terrible. So it was just like, Brian and I were just like, cool, we'll just do the hard seltzers and then we'll just do a shot of tequila every now and then. And honestly, it worked out beautifully.
Oh, I like that.
Do you know what my favorite flavor of that Florida seltzer is? They have it's just called Band-Aids. Doesn't the Florida, what are some other Florida seltzer
I like,
flavors?
Medicare Melon is a good one.
Uh-huh. A bath salt blast is a good one.
That's a great Florida flavor.
Unvaccinated punch is a good one.
out of control rascal raspberry is pretty good.
Oh, and then of course the all time favorite Gatorade is.
Yes.
Welcome to Sidework Podcast, guys. I am your host, Andrea Wallace.
Hello, I'm your host, Brooke Van Poplin. Joining us.
Oh, let's let him introduce himself.
Okay.
I mean, you've seen me in a Walmart commercial. You've seen me in another commercial. It's James Dunn, and I'm back again. And I'm so glad to be back.
We last all spoke on Zoom in the before times. I don't think I'd gotten my second vax yet. And now we're talking to each other so close to just seeing each other in real life. Can we get that set up?
I hugged James without a mask on Saturday and his lovely wife.
Yeah.
He's had a little impromptu dinner.
We had a little.
So we'll all do it soon.
Well, yes. I can't wait to see Brooke. I just can't wait.
Yay.
It'd be so much fun. Yeah. No, me and Andrea hung out. We had a good time and Brian and we hugged and we played darts and
we ate chicken fried steak and pie.
We ate chicken fried steak and pie.
Are you guys from fucking Kansas?
We were that night. Nice. I mean, Nebraska's not too far away from Kansas. Let's, you know, it's just.
Truly. I love to hear that. Fun fact about me. I'm trying to keep the demons at bay at the moment. I forgot to take my daily medication yesterday, which is it's a Cymbalta 20 milligrams, which I've been on for going on 5 years. I rarely ever forget it. And the next day, you know, when you take it, it really hits the bloodstream hard.
Oh, wow.
So it's woo, a lot of bats in the belfry. My heart's racing. Yeah, cool. Great. Anyways, I think this year I'm fully looking at finally walking back my meds. They've done so much good for me the past couple of years, but I'm realizing I have the tools I need to handle my shit. And you know what?
Great.
And if I don't handle my shit, I have no problem being on meds. There is nothing wrong with it.
Right.
But I'm ready to give it a go and see if I actually need them or not.
But for the time being, for today's purposes, what you're saying is if this in this Zoom chat where we can see each other, you might just rip your shirt off like suddenly, I'm right? Very, you might just Hulk out a little bit.
I'm very warm.
Clothes are a prison.
Are you eating while recording, James Dunn?
I'm having a quick plug. Yes, I was. I'm eating a Blue Diamond honey roasted almond.
I very quickly from the back thought you were about to turn around a can of cat food. I thought maybe you were eating some Fancy Feast.
Fancy Feast is my favorite flavor of Florida seltzer.
It was scary to go to the grocery store. Sometimes you couldn't get those orders in the night before. You make do with what you have.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a year. Also, Brooke talking about like, you know, maybe not being on like prescribed medication anymore. And then James eating his self-prescribed medication, which is, what is it?
Blue Diamond honey roasted almonds. And I didn't have one yesterday, and I just had one now, and it is hitting the bloodstream, baby. Let me tell you. I don't know what I'm going
to. Oh, my God. They just got that endorsement for free. Okay. So
are you drinking a monster? What are you drinking with those almonds?
No, look, it's that liquid death.
Liquid death.
It's that sparkling
what
water.
Is that?
All the hipster. It's a hipster thing. You don't get it.
It's water. It's canned water. It's canned water. You wouldn't, I don't know.
It's canned water, but I buy it for the can.
This is a lot of free endorsement. Liquid Death.
Dude.
And Blue Diamond Nuts.
By the way, have you guys seen my new Burger King shirt?
James, get out of here.
Cross all of this out. Just beep me. I'm sorry.
No way.
It's too late. This is going in. You're going to get canceled. Just wait.
Honey.
Or not.
Honey. Will you tell me when the Stouffer's Stouffer's veggie lasagna is done? I'm famished, and it always hits the spot.
Okay. All right, guys.
Enough.
I think we enough is enough. Let's jump into some headlines, shall we?
Yes. Sounds good to me. Sounds good. Okay, great. Some fun headlines I found. This one's coming from the UK, and I love it so much because I feel like it sparks, thank God, not an argument about tipping, but about how when you go out to eat, how people basically in the UK and America, this is an opinion piece, we've been paying the tab all wrong all the time. I know. They're like this whole, like basically the premise is every other country, how do they do this, first of all, has an understanding that if one person picks up the tab, the other couple or the other friend makes a mental note, I've got next. And that's called classy tipping. None of this split down the middle. We each throw our fucking clunky credit card onto the thing. It's I don't know how else to explain this, but it's apparently we're the weirdo odd ones out who don't know how to pay a tab correctly.
According to who? The country that we separated from hundreds of years ago.
Exactly. Exactly.
No, I get it. Yes. And it is. And I think it's classy to be like, I got it. You got it. But I also kind of I like when people are just like, here, go split it. Don't even think about it. Don't even look at the bill. Just split it. I think that's nice, too.
That's fine. It's mm-hmm. I think what we can agree to disagree on is the itemizing.
Correct.
Because I think what I do, we have non-drinking friends. I always double check, you know, if you do a quick math or it's like, hey, you do not tip. We take the whole tip on because you didn't have anything to drink. However, yep. It makes them comfortable. That's my one thing is if there's someone who's like, I'm a vegan and I didn't touch any of this food, or they're an alcoholic. Sorry, a sober person. I said, or if they're an alcoholic, I'm in a non-drinker. Then I think these are these occasions when, yeah, you kind of have to be like, hey, why don't you just say 30 on my card? But I know this article's like telling us we're all a bunch of classless turds.
Yeah. I do agree with like the whole like, here, I made you a list and here's everybody's amount and here's making your life easier, which I have done in the past when I was younger. But this article's even saying that even like Hawaii's keen to this. So I'll do whatever they do in Hawaii. That's for sure.
It's called taking turns, people. Get hip with it. What you do is you put that. Okay, and here's my one thing that I will say about this. This is how I always encourage the no, we'll pick up this tab this time. Or come on, why are they not talking about, be like, I'm going to pick it up. I want points on my card. You bitches, Venmo me.
I know people who do that on purpose, for sure.
Yeah.
Or they could just, if they see an American coming in, they could hand them an abacus on the way to the table. And just each item gets pulled over. Every couple has a different color of bead. And they know roughly by the end.
I do think it, like, I have many feelings about this. Because I know when people are like, I'm being so nice and helpful. And I wrote this fucking syllabus on the back of the check with the last four of everyone. You're like, oh my God, just put down two credit cards and then go sit in a parking lot and figure it out. Get the fuck out of the restaurant.
Right. Yeah. And you don't know what kind of POS system they have and how it can, like, what kind of hindrance you're putting on the server in that moment to be, here's a stack of credit cards. Also, look, I'll pay the card and we can trade these, but when I itemize that fucker on my own, every time I'm gonna be like, who had 12 liquid deaths? And we all know who that's gonna
we
be.
We all know who it was.
Also, another big thing is just the one person pays and everybody pays them through a Cash App. It's so much easier to just deal with your own little stuff outside of the restaurant.
Yeah, leave your baggage at the door.
Yeah.
Seriously. So I'm sort of now getting on the side of like, yes, mock us, you know, leave that shit for the parking lot. Like I said, go do it, you know, don't do it on the restaurant and the server's fucking time, okay?
Okay.
Throw down one card, two tops.
It makes perfect sense that the country that left the Paris Clean Air Act is bad at paying a bill or whatever. Makes perfect sense.
We're back. We're getting back in.
We're back in the Paris Accord.
We're groveling,
baby.
We're not there yet.
Okay, and this is just a funny thing because these were two headlines that came out of the UK, but another one that popped up was a vegan diner in a restaurant in the UK basically asked the bartender, like, what items are vegan for me? And he's like, oh, I'll go and double check with the chef in the back. And he came back with a menu for her where he had circled the items which were safe for her to eat as a vegan. But then like a piece of receipt paper with his handwriting also fell out. And it just, the cook had written on it, the vegan shite has been circled. And she found the note. Oh. And she was, if you can imagine, as a vegan, she was offended. And she got so mad.
Here's what I think is hilarious. She is quoted as saying, which I find to be one of the funniest things maybe I've read in a long time, for a chef to have that mentality is quite shocking.
Yeah.
Oh, like, I know. I was like, you
oh, no.
Oh, oh, my.
Yeah.
But she left feeling extremely disappointed, demanded, you know, an apology, even though they went out of their way to make sure she knew on the menu. She got behind the curtain. It was an accident. It wasn't aggressive.
It was not meant for her to see. Those were not meant for her eyes. That's when everybody laughs behind the scenes, which really has nothing to do with you. It just has to do with them and how they get through their day.
I mean,
let's be honest.
The second you sit down at a restaurant, you've got a nickname. the staff has given you an, you know, I mean, like, you're either eyes too close together, or or large bag on a napkin, like, you know, you've got a nickname as soon as you sit down. Vegan shite is the least of it.
Seriously. Don't sweat it, honey. Oh my God. So funny. But yeah, she's like, I mean, on top of it, all of my allergies and what have you. And it's like, oh boy. All right. The vegan shite's been circled. I love it.
The vegan shite's been circled. Meet me at the clock tower at midnight for your nachos for one, which is one of the top circled menu items, is nachos for one, which we all know can never feed just one person. Let's be honest. If nachos for one is the size of a trough, I'll believe it then.
Yeah. You can never have enough.
Like, nachos for one sounds, it's like the saddest you could ever order.
Honestly, I'm more offended that someone suggested nachos for one.
Yeah.
Than saying vegan shite.
Also, how dare you decide what portion of nachos is for one person? Mm-hmm. Anyway. All right. This is enough with this vegan shite. Let's move on to some server
submitted
stories. First story today. Hello, I was listening to this week's episode and heard Andrea's story about bartending with a cut finger, and this reminded me of the time that I had to make food for my graduation party with food poisoning. At the time, I was working at a bakery, so I figured I'd save some of my money on my grad party by doing most of the cooking myself. It was on a Monday of Memorial Day weekend, so I spaced prep out over the weekend. However, at the time, I was also a high school student looking for a good time, so I, out of necessity, I brewed my own wine for my friends and I to get drunk on. The night before I was supposed to prep, I decided to have a few drinks before bed. The wine usually tasted god awful, but it was all I had. I went into my mother's pantry and found a bottle of sparkling grape juice that I had assumed was left over from New Year's, so I used it to cut the wine. The next morning, I woke up with horrible food poisoning, a full evacuation, if you will. And it did not get any better for days. Oof. At one point, with my head in the toilet, I heard my sister say that she'd never seen me that sick. I later found out that the grape juice I used to cut the wine was expired. My hoarder mother kept a bottle of sparkling grape juice that expired in 2004. 14 years! 14 years! It's before I drank it. Needless to say, I pushed most of the cooking off until Sunday night and had some help prepping from friends and family, but I was so neurotic that I still insisted on doing all the baking and most of the cooking myself. And that is how I ended up in a church kitchen overnight, working as hard as I could while taking breaks to go to the bathroom or lay down on a pew to rest. This was the same church where I attended Catholic school for 9 years, and as a gay man, I was uncomfortable. Although I did get to shake my fist at a giant crucifix and shout, "Fuck you and your father too," something I'd wanted to do for years. Sorry if I got a little long-winded. Oh, love everything you ladies do. Godspeed and good tips. Alex, the stoner server.
Hell yeah, wow. Alex.
That's fucking crazy.
Is it?
Well, I mean, I feel like if you're making your own wine, then you might as well just mix it with expired sparkling grape juice.
Is that another flavor of Florida seltzer? Homebrewed wine?
Yeah.
Closet wine. We actually have a friend, James, and I have a friend that makes closet wine.
Yeah.
Yeah, you told me about this Sunny D disaster.
He also makes it out of V8 Splash.
My God. How do you brew your own wine overnight? I don't get it.
Well, yeah,
well,
overnight. It takes more than a day. Like, I think this should be a lesson to everybody. If you're drinking your own homemade wine, of any kind, although I guess it was the tainted sparkling juice that did it. Make sure the next day there's nothing going on. Like, just make sure that's a day for you. But also, I was wondering, 14-year-old sparkling grape juice in a bottle, that seems like it would just turn into wine.
Yeah. Exactly.
Or at least some sort of delicious vinegar.
Right.
Yeah, for sure. I imagine when he, I would hope, and I like the visual of him like pulling it out of the pantry and like blowing the dust off that's been all over it. Oh, man. And I got to say, for to have so much pressure on you to like make your own graduation party so amazing, which good on you, Alex, for that. That's a, like, I feel like that's my energy. I would be like, I'm graduating, I'm throwing the party, I'm making everything perfect. And then I feel like I would push through this bullshit too. Shit. Great yeah. story.
Good one. Good one. Moving on. Here we have one. She starts off answering the call for fresh stories. Since I previously shared my nightmarish buffet tales and my tiki bar troubles with the Honey Boo Boo family, I'm now going to draw from my college restaurant serving experience. I'm an extremely clumsy person by nature. Honestly, not sure how anyone ever trusted me to carry a tray full of martini glasses or present an expensive bottle of wine to a table, but somehow I fooled them into keeping me around. This leads me to my dreaded spill stories. The first that I'll share occurred when a woman asked me for an extra side of buffalo sauce, a giant ass ramekin full of warm, bright orange liquid. Somehow I managed to lean over the table in such a way that the entirety of the sauce fell directly into the customer's expensive handbag, covering literally all of her belongings. Fucking buffalo sauce. I apologized profusely, bought her entire meal as well as another round of drinks and desserts. I tried to pay her with every bit of cash I had in my apron, but she refused. She was extremely understanding and laughed it off. She even left me a massive tip afterwards.
Aww.
Right? So my next spill story was the polar opposite of this interaction. This time I poured a refill of water and what couldn't have been more than a quarter size amount of water splashed out of the glass and onto the guest's phone. First of all, I'll pause right here. You get your motherfucking phone off the table, you pee.
Yeah, there's liquids involved, asshole.
Okay. So she gets a quarter size drop onto the guest's phone. Now, mind you, this phone was visibly battered. Like someone ran over it and then duct taped it back together, completely shattered. Hey, no judgment from me, but this thing had nothing on the previous designer purse that I turned into a literal hot wing. The guest didn't say a single word to me about the water droplets accumulating on her phone. But suddenly I was approached by my manager who said the guest was insisting that I give her financial reparations for the damages to her cellular device. Jesus Christ. My manager treated me as if I had committed an unforgivable sin, and I left the interaction having the horrible hide in the kitchen and swallow your tears moment, which we all know. My favorite line cook saw me, and when I explained what happened, he immediately asked, "What table?" Oof. The next thing I know, he's walking out of the kitchen with a 5-gallon bucket of white rice. He sits it directly in front of the cell phone chick and with a smile says, "I hear this is great for water damaged phones. I'll take care of your bill and you can keep the rice as a parting gift." This turned my mood around so quickly and I will never forget my sweet kitchen friend. Thought you may enjoy one or both of these tales. So glad I do not have to experience the anxiety of carrying something to a table again. Godspeed and good tips, Emily.
Oh.
I want to spend the rest of my life hanging out with buffalo sauce lady. Like
and bucket of rice chef.
And bucket of rice guy.
And buffalo lady, like, do they know that they might like be a great couple?
If you spill buffalo sauce on a lady and she smiles and is like, "Oh, whatever." She's in your life forever.
I'm going to name the cell phone person Waterworks is what I'm going to name them.
Waterworks. Also
nicknames all around.
Grifter. Like clearly
phone grifter.
This person needed a new phone like yesterday. And so they were like, my chance, I'll take it.
I mean,
yeah. I bet that piece of shit phone was a decoy that they put out everywhere and like move it around trying to get sauces and droplets to land on it so that they can just
very
collect
possible.
Money.
What, I'm telling you.
What a convoluted scheme, though.
People are fucking nuts. We've seen it all at this point.
Here's the deal.
Okay.
Waters and droplets. That's what we deal in now, baby. No, I get it. People are total pieces of shit. I just can... Now I'm picturing Buffalo Sauce Lady in a kiddie pool full of buffalo sauce and just, like, splashing around and loving it. I
kind of also fuck that manager, though. I'm just going to say that for just, like... And that's what managers just, like... For a manager to be, like... To just be like, I'm just going to project what that person projected onto me onto you. Like, that's right. Not a manager's job. Like,
agreed.
To be like, I'm going to make this 23-year-old go broke instead of using probably the corporate restaurant I work for to offer some sort of compensation, which is the classic sign of a shitty manager.
Yeah.
That's, I don't know. Buffalo sauce is so... fucking good.
Delicious.
Was, every time I open my beautiful leather purse and it was just
I'd be like, I smell it. I mean, that's way better than like a lipstick, like opening up in your purse and getting all over everything. Let's 100. Admit that.
Agree. I'll take the buffalo sauce. I love that story. Thank you for writing in again, Emily.
Oops.
All right, James, we picked one out for you too.
Wonderful.
Lots of good characters you can inhabit in this one.
Well, here comes my education put to work. Hey there, ladies. I've never worked in a restaurant, but I love to learn about the wacky world of food service and just how much bullshit you guys put up with on a regular basis. In parentheses, I'm now extra nice and always tip 20% or more since listening to the show.
Hell yeah!
End parentheses. Now for my story. I work at a garden supply store in the middle of nowhere, Northern California, which means I sell soil and fertilizer to black market weed growers and the occasional old lady that needs something for her orchids. Now, these kinds of products attract an incredibly diverse crowd, from the school bus dwelling hill folk that only come back to civilization when they need sustenance, to the organic tobacco grower, to lower level cartel bosses that boast about making $1 million every 2 months, but constantly nickel and dime me on 45-cent plastic pots. One of my regular customers was a slightly overweight East Coast Italian who calls himself Fat Pasta.
Wait, what's his name?
Fat Pasta.
Fat Pasta.
Fat Pasta. And boy, did Fat Pasta like to drink. To him, I suppose I was his best friend, little brother, neighborhood therapist, as he would come into my store shit-faced drunk, ranting and raving about who knows what, and I would have to defuse the situation. One such episode, after I finished calming him down, or so I thought, he looked at me dead in the eyes and said, "You know what? I love you. You're like family to me." Then he proceeded to pull out a loaded handgun and wave it around my store, wildly yelling, "And if anyone hurts you, you just call me and I'll put a bullet in their fucking head, I swear. If anybody fucks with you, you call me." I quickly shuffled him outside and told him to give me the gun. He hung his head like a toddler who just had his favorite toy confiscated from him. I removed the magazine and bullet from the chamber, then handed him back his empty gun while telling him to never pull that shit again. And he's lucky that it was only me in the store because anyone else would call the cops. He sulked away, muttering under his breath, "I was just trying to say I love you, bro." Anyways, that's just one example of the bizarre world of retail I inhabit. Love you guys. Godspeed and good tips.
Fat pasta.
Fat pasta.
I'll fucking kill him.
Fucking oh my kill God. Him.
Don't spill buffalo sauce on fat pasta. you're a goner. Can you imagine the steady hand this guy has to see waving gun to remove the magazine and out of the gun?
Bullet from the chamber? I mean, this is some cinematic shit happening in the middle of nowhere, Northern California. I'm just saying right now.
And
you're selling dirt to people.
I think about that all the time. And, you know, we will dive back into more retail episodes in the future because we love it. And it's the crossover version of what we do. But in so many ways, like, people who work in retail, they've got to be fucking tough. That guy runs a store alone in the middle of nowhere for his whole shift. So you've got to be a tough motherfucker and be able to deal with a lot of people and their weird needs. There's no one to back you up except for fat pasta. But fat pasta is the problem.
Man, Northern California is fucking weirdo, especially they're describing where they work. It's all like he said, shady, weird farmers, nomads, shut-ins, gorilla, like...
Oh yeah. There are definitely they're like militias, but then also drug cartels. Like it's cops and robbers out, way up there in the woods of North Carolina. Northern California. Sorry, my brother.
I was like, was I wrong? Did I read it wrong?
No, Northern California. You can see how I slip of the tongue there.
Can we all just say this fresh batch of stories was so incredible? So if you guys have any stories, this is what we love. This is what we wait for. This is our favorite thing. Please send them our way, sideworkpod@gmail.com. Or like Brooks has said in the past, we're even into you DMing us them right now.
I might have changed my mind again, but
decision pending. Do what feels right.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Okay, guys, diving into the topic of the day, we're talking about the new normal. This is our post-COVID showvid.
I think that's the greatest title I've ever made for a show. And obviously, we know the pandemic is far from over, but guess what? The country's opening up. So
whether you like it or not, motherfuckers.
Exactly. So we thought today, we think after 15-16 months of trying to keep up with what change and how we pivot, we're actually going to take a breath, a nice deep one without a mask on, and we want to unpack this elephant in the room, which is restaurants and dining out. It's been forever altered, and I think it's time to take a temperature on what's actually good about it and maybe should have always been the way restaurants and bars operate. So we thought it'd be fun to just kind of do a weird roundup of everything that has sort of been considered the new standard in dining. Now that the world's opening back up, a lot of shit ain't going back to how it was.
I mean,
anyone else can feel free to talk to me.
I'm ready. Sorry, I was just like, you're right, it's happening. LA, well, California in general, is opening up next week. Like,
15th, baby.
Mandate gone. I mean, they're leaving it up to restaurants and other, you know, businesses have their own protocols, as you will. Most restaurants are still like, wear your mask until you're seated. Mm-hmm. If you have to get up and go to the bathroom, put it on. We've talked about all this stuff. But yeah, I'm ready to get back out there. I went to dinner last night and it was fucking great. Like, it's popping. It's popping off out there. You know, talking to a girlfriend who was in New York last week and their mandate is also gone. And she said the day that it was dissolved, it was like a beautiful, like 79 degree, like low humidity day in New York City. And people were fucking everywhere, like having the time of their lives. So I think that there's one side of it that's just like, we're not used to this, it's chaos. And then the other side is this like beautiful emerging at the same time. Yeah.
Well, I think like definitely some lessons are being learned suddenly, because it went from like, yeah, we can just probably drop in, nobody's really clamoring to eat or eat inside anywhere just yet, even though you could. And Sean and I like didn't have a plan in place on Saturday night. And we suddenly were like, we can't get in anywhere. There's no room in the inn, you know? And we had like one of the classic, like, and we were walking back to the car and I was like, who do we think we are? It's fucking Saturday night. We don't have a reservation. We think we're just going to fucking sit down and enjoy a meal. We're fucking idiots.
Yeah.
Well, it's a new world to navigate.
It's a new world. And to be fair, places that never had a reservation policy, many of them are implementing it now for safety reasons, to ensure that they fill all their tables while they are still trying to maintain their space, so that they're not overstretching what they're capable of doing, you know, because many restaurants up until the 15th at this point had to have the last meals out of the kitchen by 9 p.m. tops.
Yep.
Which, you know, it's been really interesting to go from like, oh yeah, we can sit wherever, this patio is empty. And then we were like, oh my God, people, we're losers. We don't have plans. We had to like walk of shame back home. And I forget what we ate. We ordered a frozen. Oh, we'll bring this up in a bit as well. Okay. But anyways.
Jump in. Let's dive in to how things have changed and probably will stay this way. Let's start off. QR codes.
I'm for them. At first I was like, I'm tired of looking things up on my phone. Like, I had like a real childish reaction. Like, there couldn't be anything easier than scanning and looking. And I was like, so much work. Now I'm like, sit down and scan it. Okay. We learned how to do it. Not touching those dirty fucking menus, bitch.
I mean, I also just learned, this is just me, that I don't actually have to take a photo of the QR code. It'll just scan and I can hit the link up top. And I was like, oh, cool. Because there was a minute where I was like, I have so many photos of QR codes in my phone. I don't think I had to. I think I just did it, you know?
Yeah, I didn't get it either. It's okay. It's okay.
And I think that's really what it is. It's just this ignorance of like getting back out there, and people are like, wait, what do I do? Like, how does this work? Like, people just don't understand what's happening, which is fine. And there will still, if you request a paper menu, you will be brought one. They still exist. There's just less of them.
There's less of them. And, you know, at this point, I don't blame any places that just have their shit written on the wall and you kind of go up like a McDonald's, you know, at this point. There's a great place. Oh, can we all go here together? I would love this to be our first date together, even tonight if you want. But there's a great place in the neighborhood called Waltz, which is like, it's like beer, pool.
I just heard about Waltz and how fucking great it was. I just heard about this place.
It's so fun. They do great hot dogs, good beer, natural wines. And they've got pinball, but a really nice outdoor area as well. their whole situation, it's like, boom, scan the QR code and you order as you go. You can kind of keep a tab open, but it's just going straight to the bartender and you're just like pinging them, being like, bring me a beer, bring me a wine. And they just, the bartender's not even saying anything to you. They are literally doing the best version of the job, which is like, here's your thing, I'm bringing it to you. Wonderful. And then you close out on the app.
I love it.
It puts 18 to 20% on your choosing and you're not even paying attention. You just close out. Boom. They make 20%.
You're gone. You walk out. You're just like, out, that's, man. And you don't have to wait. You don't have to flag anybody down. It's beautiful. And the best thing for the bar incentivizing is like, you can't just fucking dine and dash. You need to like, you're not allowed to order a drink until they have your financial information. Sorry.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. Also, no more coming back the next day completely hungover going, did I leave my credit card here? My life is falling the fuck apart.
Yeah, that is a different version you show of yourself when that happens. That's for sure.
I went to a place, me and Andrea went up for a beer. They have a QR code. I thought it was...
We went to Tony's. We went to Tony's Darnsway.
We went to Tony's. I thought it was great. I do know there may be a slight, learning curve for some of the older folks out there who don't exactly know, but it's the easiest thing in the world to pick up. And also, you know, this isn't a huge issue, but the more that we start doing things like this, the more like waste in general is created. Not that, you know, like menus are choking blue whales right now, but but, you know, that sort of thing makes a difference. And the more little decisions like that you can make are more environmentally friendly and better in the long run.
That was definitely one of the points being made, is that I feel like the service industry was on a really great trajectory of going that way. But the pandemic made that suddenly every single part of your eating and dining experience for carryout had to suddenly be hermetically sealed in extra paper, plastic, just to be following health and safety guidelines, which to me still stayed kind of crazy, because we were like, guys, we know it's airborne. Well, can we stop it with the fucking, you know, the theater? Yeah, but
we don't need like giant tongs to like hand you your to-go bag.
I don't know. I don't feel safe. I don't feel safe unless my Taco Bell bag is closed with a sticker. I don't feel safe.
I will say the one thing about the QR codes, and look, it was a little bit of a problem with James, is that like he doesn't know which bartender is going to get his order, and he doesn't get his regular's extra 4 ounces glass.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, how do I tell them I'm a regular? My name is on the glass.
Is there a memo option?
We'll probably, it's fine. And you but send it, it is hilarious.
I think the solution, James, is sending a selfie and be like, James, regular.
For a small period of time, they had my headshot on the wall for like 3 days.
I remember that.
And then the owner was like, get this fucking thing off of here.
Dude, that is one of my oldest bits. I was doing bits to get hired for late night, trying to get like food, like, you know, hot dog carts to hang my headshot up, like just one, just like one headshot, and it's just me on a pretzel cart. But
like you taking a bite out of a hot dog. She's a character actress.
Let's bring that back, guys. Let's all get our headshots printed and go see which restaurants will hang them for us. That would be amazing. here's a hot tip, right? Whether you're comfortable or not, keeping stuff in your Apple Pay, if you have an iPhone and do the Apple Wallet, I was always like, I don't want my info in there. And now I have it in there and it communicates with the apps, which means that you don't have to every single time type your name, look up your credit card number. Because that's where I was starting to get mad, was every time I was in a new place and had to manually enter every single, you know, my address, all that shit. I was like, this is a bummer. But if you keep stuff in your iPhone, in your Apple Pay, the apps usually communicate with it. Boom, one and done.
Yeah, it's nice and secure in there too. So
awesome. We think. We don't know.
We think. All right, next on our list, more outdoor dining.
It's great.
I mean, a lot of cities are extending the option for al fresco and are working hard to find permanent solutions for al fresco dining so it can stay forever. This is my dream come true, especially for LA, which was a barren wasteland of no outdoor dining when I moved here, and I was very confused about it.
It makes none of the sense. It all comes down to the way this city is run, because it's like you go to Santa Barbara and it's like everything is outside. All you do, it's like fire pits year round, and you're eating your oysters and drinking your Chardonnay.
Yeah, fires on the beach. And
that's,
yeah. Like,
that's how you picture California when you've never lived here, right? And then you come to LA and you're like, the ocean's right there. How come I have to eat inside? What the fuck is going on with this city? Mm-hmm. Like, it's a very odd thing. There are so few outdoor eating situations, especially on the east side over here. So,
I mean, and it's only making us look more fucking European and cool in the long run to have these options, which I'm all for.
It's very cute, you know, because, like, let's be honest, you're going to get every type of diner hopefully coming out now. And what's great is it still caters to the tier that maybe don't feel awesome about going into a restaurant yet, even though everything is fully open, that they'll still go out to eat because you've got these permanent al fresco now zoned solutions. Like, the city is working with the bike lanes, the roads, making it very clear and putting barriers out so hopefully you don't get hit by a jaguar barreling into your
or
table.
Or eaten by one.
They come down from that mountain, girl. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But it's been really cool to just see places. Yeah, it just, I don't know. People might not understand, but it was a total, yeah, there was a barren wasteland out here. Missed opportunity.
I will say, at dinner last night, that our outdoor table was like, the restaurant itself's on a little bit of a slope on the sidewalk. There's hill that goes down. So it was a little like, you kind of had to just be like, just, you know, use your shift your body weight in a certain way just to make sure you weren't like tilting back a little bit.
Oh, that's like dining al fresco in San Francisco.
Yeah.
You were like, I better not order anything round.
Oh, no.
I ordered a plate full of hard boiled eggs.
Oh, no.
There they go.
Okay.
Could you split our check?
Oh, boy. Okay. To go cocktails. Go ahead.
Who's the person who's the diner, right? In this scenario, you're a two top and you're like, we'd like to split it three ways. I'd like to give you three of my own credit cards if you can parcel them differently. And then she would just like to put $2 on hers.
Or you could say, we want to split it three ways. And he'd be like, your server or he or she, whoever they are, would be like, well, there's only two of you. And they'd be like, yes, but we'd like to change that tonight. And it's your way of being like, yep, we want to fuck you.
Yep.
Which is not okay to do to your server.
No.
No.
Yeah. I'm going to do that sometime just for fun. Go to a restaurant by myself and be like, could we split this three ways? I've got a credit card for each of my lives.
You guys think this is funny, but people really do this because they're like, I only have this much money on this card and I only have this much money on this card. So it actually happens much more than you think.
Yeah, that happens.
I'll do that at the grocery store or like at a department store where I know I'm buying shit I shouldn't be buying. And I'm like, I'll put a little bit from my actual bank account and then the majority on my credit card.
I remember, and just since we're taking this segue really quick, I remember like having like 80 cents left on all these Visa gift cards.
Yes.
And being like,
Can you squeeze anything out of this one?
Swipe these three and then tell me the remainder.
They're like, it's still $47 left.
I thought there was more on that one. No. Anyway, digression.
I think this is an interesting thing too, right? The outdoor thing, what I've also noticed, which I kind of don't know how I feel about yet, but because of COVID, even though we're at bars, you just stay in your pod. Nobody's talking to strangers.
No.
Rubbing shoulders or and so in many ways, it leaves like unwanted interaction, like the welcome. It's going to take a while for people to get full handsy, invade your space again. But now we almost have more of a right to be like, you're not part of my pod, even though we're fully vaccinated and who gives a shit. That's going to be my new line. Be like, you're not part of my circle.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely. I mean, it does cut down on a lot of, unfortunately, I'm that guy. I'm that.
I'm this that, seat taken? You guys mind if I pull exactly. up a little Oreo estate? Or, you say that oh, a lot.
I'm famous for the, oh, we should have went with that. That looks great. You know, when you see the
and then you lean in for the handshake. James Dunn, nice to meet you.
I lean in for the French kiss. Here's my headshot.
Oh my god,
join us.
All right guys, to go cocktails and bottle shops.
I love that it's here to stay. The to go cocktail, I'm working on it. I'm trying to stop with the home drinking, okay? But sometimes the couch calls and mommy wants one of the delicious bar drinks, but at home, you know? And this really ticks off a lot of boxes for me, is to go out, be social until I've had my fill, and then take a little bit of the bar experience with me.
I love that.
Anna, drink it while I'm driving.
Oh yeah. Well, it's summery again for everybody. So again, I love the idea of like, if you're in a walkable neighborhood, to be like, we're going to walk on down and get a couple to-go cocktails and just drink while we get our steps in.
How fun, you know, but like, or to even have such better options for a park hang, you know, like, cause you're really close to the Hyperion Public and their cute mm-hmm. little to-go bar situation. I was so, after I did a facial with you, I almost pulled over to get one to go, you know, just cause I was like, I can't resist. It's high quality stuff, but for the road. I don't mean actual drinking and driving, you know, but you get what I'm saying. Take it with you.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottle shops are so fucking smart too, because if you've got a situation set up where you've merchandised and figured out like, hey, here's a cost price if you come into this store. Like, obviously, it's not probably going to be insanely different from the menu price. But if you're like, we'll take a whole nother bottle of wine. We love this, you know, and we don't want to just have it here at the restaurant yeah. only. I'd like to buy a bottle of wine for home and my dinner party or what have you.
Totally. And even just to be like, oh, now there's, you know, even areas that didn't have like cute bottle shops with like smaller batch options, like this is the solution to that. And for, again, cities to loosen their liquor laws and keep it as a permanent solution is really amazing. So get on out there and spend that money, you guys. And this is also what has been keeping bars afloat during all of it. So it should be this like permanently adopted thing of just like a saving grace. That's just like a thing that always is now. So, all right, next up, higher prices. This is very real, you guys. It's harder to source certain items that might be coming from across the country or even the world. And even having to, as wages raise as they should for employees, we're going to see the effects when it comes to what items cost on menus. So yeah, this is a very real thing that we're just gonna have to get used to.
I mean, and it's, you know, I bought I don't know if any of you have been to the hardware store recently, like everything's gone up in price. Like wood is insane. Like it's just the state of the world right now, because the works are still all gummed up. And slowly but surely, it'll start to get back to normal. But that's just, so you know, that's just the way things are right now. And also, it's not the server's fault. So when you go out to eat and you do like order food and you notice the bill is larger than it should be, you still have to tip the right amount. You can't, you know, like I'm sure there's people that are taking this opportunity to be like, oh God, well, maybe we'll just tip a little less. No, that's not the case.
I can't believe that this glass of wine went up $1.50. Like, I mean, that's the kind of stuff that's happening. But, you know, the thing about, like, the plus side to, I think, certain items being harder to source when it comes to, like, maybe vegetables, fruits, protein that we're coming from so far away is better on the environment because it's more local sourcing. And then we're getting more local farms involved in the food that we eat, you know, in the area that we live in, which is beautiful and what we all want anyway, right? At least I love that.
Absolutely.
So that's great. So on the same kind of, in the same vein, there's fewer menu items happening on menus now. So to pretty much create a zero waste kitchen, which sounds amazing to me, and with rising food costs, there's going to be tighter, smaller menus out there just to ensure that what's being bought is actually being sold at restaurants.
It's great.
I love it. I love a nice tight menu.
Me too.
Just make sure you are excelling at every single item, because yes. I have been to one or two places where they're not doing much of anything on the menu very good. And you're like, so you're like, when we go back next time, do we want to try? And it's like, no, we tried everything. It wasn't great.
Oh.
And we're out. Three strikes.
Not good, but hopefully, yes, execution is amazing. And, you know, we all have a small rotating situation. Next, better working conditions and benefits for workers, insurance, well, paid sick leave, higher wages. Ta-da!
I mean, we're pushing for that, but for some, yes. But
for some, yes. For others, no. But yes, slowly but surely, hopefully, we're building toward it for everyone.
It's on the way.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, and we'll see, I think with, I hope with like everything opening up and mask mandates, dissolving, I hope that like more stuff will start happening quickly, more people will get on the ball. Like, I know we have talked and did a whole episode about this, but, and the understaffed and the restaurants like really needing more help than ever. Hopefully it'll all just even out and everything will be okay. Right, guys? Everybody okay what they want, right, guys?
Well, I don't know the ins and outs of it. I mean, I know that my restaurant we were all laid off because I was working in the kitchen when the pandemic hit, and I was laid off, and then the restaurant completely closed. And so I only really know that reality, but I also know that a lot has been learned over this past year for the worker, for the small business. And the key is to just keep harnessing that energy and everything we've learned. Because people know how important these workers are now, or at least they should, how vital they are to the economy and how vital they are to the society. So this is a huge wake-up call, I think, as far as labor is concerned. At least it is to me. I know that, you know, this is all being debated, but so that's how I feel about it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Next is takeout. Takeout, in my opinion, just as important as dining in. Most restaurants, I think, need to, if not keep it like, I feel like it's still like 50-50 for a lot of places. Whereas like your income is like you're doing half takeaway, half dine in until things really change.
You know, and I think too, for restaurants to pivot who were like, yeah, takeout was not necessarily our bread and butter. It's mm-hmm. you take your leftovers home. But adding this entire option, you know, they've figured out a way to make it work, which is really cool.
I think so too.
Some people are still going to be homebodies, but hell not the yeah. nice meal, you know?
Oh, yeah. And I think just to be like, oh, we know and have relied on this restaurant to give us what we need, even though we all like to go every now and then, regardless of a pandemic or not. And like you were saying, just to like have, you know, made it their own and like perfected it is great, is a great option. Plus who knows what's around the corner. Sorry, I've had a lot of coffee at this point, guys, and I'm trying to stay positive, but my head is spinning. The coffee is going through my veins and hitting my bloodstream like really weird. I'm just gonna say. cleaner than ever, you guys. That's a fun thing for restaurants to be sparkly, shiny, clean all the time.
Yeah.
We would hope, you know.
I mean, we were saying, like, if you never did a deep clean in your restaurant, COVID sort of made you so you mm-hmm. could have people actually come in and dine. I listen, constantly wiping down surfaces for the sake of just germs in general, I'm here for more of that. You know, I laugh, like I said, at a little bit of the theater of touching everything and someone's just right there with a spray gun, you know, cleansing it. It's like, we don't have fingerprints left after this year in captivity and hand sanitizer. So like, we can find a happy medium there. However, but cleaner than ever, I'm also like, can we congratulate the world on finally learning how to wash their hands after going to the bathroom?
Yeah.
Or sneezing, yeah, or coughing.
Yeah. Yeah. Or just not washing their hands for a while, you know? Just re-up that hand washing. Normalizing mask wearing. And I think that's, I mean, I think that it's there, you know? I think it's per restaurant. I think, you know, when I was in Omaha, there was absolutely servers not wearing masks, but you know, here it's the norm. I think it's just per business and what they choose to do. And we all just need to be like, okay, whatever, you know,
to just like, to literally be chill with it. You know, it's just huge things have happened to this industry where it really was to keep people on the job and to keep them safe. And servers really were pawns in the middle of all of this. They were just trying to work. They were just trying to do their job. So if a restaurant and their servers have decided, we personally would still feel better us being masked while everything goes to full capacity and no masks for everyone else, don't give them shit. Do not give them shit. It's just, I'm just saying, like, as much as one restaurant might have a different choice, respect the restaurant's vibe. And this, like we're saying, normalizing what they choose is just going to be a part of our future.
You take any of those non-masked people and you have them go to Subway and not have the sandwich artist slip on those gloves before they make their sandwich, they're going to freak out. Like, I want, yes. Don't make, you know, so it's like, why is that a thing, not a thing? And it is, I mean, God, we've been talking about this for a year and a half. The mask thing is so ridiculous to me. But yeah, I know, I understand, like, I do what the CDC is recommending. And if they're saying it's cool, then that's fine. No mask for now. But the thing is, you get, if you want to wear your mask, you can do it forever.
What are anything, you going to do, James?
Anything usable in there? I'm always going to keep, at least for the foreseeable future, it's going to be keys, wallet, phone, mask. You know, like if I'm heading out, like, why not? I don't feel any shame about it. And if I feel like I'm in a situation where I might want a little extra protection, I will pull it out, put it on.
It's like, for some people, I've heard a lot of waiters be like, it's my like little safety blanket. Yeah. When I'm on the job, you know? Sean has normalized his so much. I'm at the point where I'm done grinning and bearing it, you know? Like, for everything that's required, absolutely. But the minute I'm out there, I'm like, oh God, it's the new taking your bra off. It's got to come off.
Right.
I agree. I agree.
This is difficult, and maybe I shouldn't say it, but you have beautiful face tits.
Thank you, James. Thank you. I just got them done.
It was a broad mask joke.
All right, so wrapping up the show, we have a little list of what needs to die once we're fully open in restaurants.
And we can keep it light and breezy on this, you know, because maybe I just, right away, I was just so mad. Like, I understand that basically all the delivery apps, you know, your Seamless, your Grubhub, your Uber Eats, you know, every which way, your Postmates. But the fact that to stay alive, a lot of people chose to do this. I am not judging that part. And a lot of restaurants who previously had no delivery chose to do it. But there is so much dysfunction with this system because it'll, you know, as we know, we've said that some apps are like, they'll order the food for you and they're like, actually, we don't have an account. Like, it didn't come through to us. We can't make the food, blah, blah, blah. Or the order comes in to say where you got your food from. And then someone doesn't fucking bother to come get it for 90 minutes. whose fault is it? Like, the place I ate at didn't make bad food, but we got a pile of literal cold mush.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and like, not to mention they're taking a lot of money from restaurants and not paying their employees like they should. So it's just not a broken, fucked up, weird system.
It's not the people doing the jobs. It's not the people doing the jobs. It's the people running the gouging, you know, that have the gouging mentality of these apps, because delivery was at a premium at the height of the pandemic. So they're very opportunist and shitty.
Yeah, and this is like goes to say with a lot of like app, like be your own boss bullshit anyway, that all needs to be dissolved, you know. Along the same lines, there was rideshare grassroots companies starting up where it's just basically like a local group of people. Like, they really are their own bosses. They are really in charge of what they're doing. They get paid a, you know, like a living, amazing wage. And I've been mentioning this for a while. I'm like, get a little neighborhood conglomerate together and all pay a little money to like pay the insurance on a handful of drivers and you all pay them. And like, that's how it works. I feel like that could be a great little model. Keep it local and then like, you know, and do DIY delivery food options. You know, if you as a restaurant can't afford to pay the insurance on like your own personal, like share, co-op it with a few other restaurants. That's what I think.
I'm fully in the, and then I think Andrea left on a really great note. Bars being packed to the gills.
Mm-hmm.
We're over it. I mean, not to say that it won't come back, and we know the places that are going to be that way, but I think like after everything we've been through, I can't do it. I'm done.
I can't do that. Nope. I can't do that. And I think I can't have like a fucking three deep at a bar, like having to shove my way through people to like get to the bathroom, or I can't be involved in this anymore. And I don't understand when it would come back. There's underground scenes, I think, where things like this are happening, but let's all, I don't want it. I don't want that.
Yeah, I'm not going to miss that, because I'm always the guy that the bartender like looks at and then looks away and is like, I'm going to get somebody cooler their drink first.
You're like, no, dude, I'm not going to, no more liquid death for you. Cut you off.
Cut off your liquid death.
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't know. I think good chat. I think there's going to be more transitions and new things that come in, obviously, because we're just feeling this out as we go, that are hopefully going to make this world of the service industry run more efficiently and better for, first and foremost, the workers and the business owners, and then for us as, you know, customers as we go in as well. So, yeah. Good topic this week, guys.
It was fun. It really flowed and was organic.
Great COVID showvid. You guys, again, thank you so much for listening. We love you guys so much. Please rate, review, subscribe, send us those server submitted stories.
Yay.
Check out One Star Network. Get over there, listen to all the other shows we have going.
If you're still hanging on to this film, I'll get to you. If you don't feel like sending in a story, how about you write a review for how much you like our show? Yeah. We'll
there
take
you go.
And be sure to read my weekly column in the London Review of Books called Vegan Shite. It's my little corner of the magazine to say what I want, finally.
Oh, yeah. And you, well, you know, we'll get over there, James. But for now, James, you know what we say at the end of every episode? We say Godspeed.
And good tips, guys. And good face boobies.
And good face boobies. Yeah.
And great tits. Godspeed. And great tits. And great tits on your face. Thank you.